dear fellow redeemed in Christ. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This statement reminds us of what we talked about a week or so ago, back to Luther's reasoning as to why we do good works. It is not to save ourselves. That would be impossible. No, we do good works. We continue in the confession that we have received because we know he who has promised is faithful. Just as we might listen to a doctor's advice on how to heal an injury or how to escape a malady leading to death because that doctor is one we trust. Who can we trust more than God himself? Every priest stands daily at his office, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. Thus, where there is the forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. We often remember Paul's description of the fight between his old man and his new man. Those things he wanted to do, he did not do. And those things he did not want to do, or to continue doing, he did. There was a war going on within him. And there is a war going on within us, the war between saint and sinner. You are either a believer or you are not. You either have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, or you don't. There is no in-between. Jesus has made the once-for-all sacrifice for all who believe in him as their Savior. He has given his Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. Daily. Every day we remember our baptism, or we do not. Every day the new man rises over the old man and refuses the lusts and the sins of this world, or the new man does not. For those who trust in Jesus as their Savior from sin and live as he guides through his Holy Spirit, there is no longer any offering for sin. Your sins have been forgiven already through Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. But for those who do not trust in him, for those who die in their sin daily, refusing the Holy Spirit, there is no second sacrifice. The condemning sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit. For this sin, there is no second forgiveness. Yet works are not what save us. By a single offering, Christ has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus has given those who trust in him his perfect life in exchange for their sinful one. So when the Father looks at those who believe in Jesus, he does not see their sin, but his Son's perfect life. So all that we have believed still holds true. It is not Jesus' works plus your own, but solely on Jesus' work that you are saved. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You have been washed with pure water. You have been baptized. Last week you were visually reminded of your own baptism into our Lord Jesus Christ. In baptism, you have put on the new man. So what is the new man? Well, first we hear Luther's comments on the old man. This old man consists of error, concupiscence, that is the desire and natural inclination to sin, wrath, fear, apprehension, despair, evil conscience, horror of death, etc. Those are the characteristics of the old carnal man. They diminish, however, in the new man. But they are not extinguished until he himself is extinguished by death. Rather, the process of removal has begun. And as a person increases in spiritual health, these evils are removed. This spiritual health is nothing more than faith in or love in Christ. So we cling to our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, over whom no one and no thing can triumph. Christ is our victor. This Tuesday, the brother pastors and I had a tri-circuit winkle, and we heard it from a professor from Fort Wayne Seminary, who had written some books on demonic activity. In his presentation, Dr. Bennett reminded us, just as I am reminding you now, that Christ is the victor. And while Dr. Bennett went on to describe some of the demonic activity he had witnessed and heard about here in the U.S., the cure for these things may seem dull and ordinary, yet they are the power of God. The ways that Dr. Bennett had used and had seen or heard were effective against demons and demonic activity were these things: the Lord's Prayer, confession and absolution, especially private confession and absolution, which, yes, we as Lutherans do practice private confession and absolution, but not the way that the Roman Catholics do. And even singing hymns. Jesus is giving us, me and you, power over the demons and over Satan to resist them. Just as the servant of God ate and triumphed over the serpent staffs of the Pharaoh's magicians, the might that we have in Christ is more powerful than anything else in all of creation, including Satan, who is only a fallen created creature himself. That's right, he is not a being of equal strength to God. He is a creation himself and has already been defeated. Just bear in mind, dear fellow redeemed in Christ, that it is not your power which defeats him. The demons have even said, "We know Jesus, we have heard of Paul, but who are you?" If you remember that account from Acts, you remember that it did not go well for those who said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we cast you out." You must have faith for yourself. And you do. You have faith in Jesus, which is the most powerful weapon against Satan and his armies you will ever have. But it is also the only one you will ever need. Therefore, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that God is faithful. It is he who has given us his Holy Spirit so that we might believe and be saved. It is he who has given us the weapons that we need to resist Satan and his demons. It is he who is faithful, and he always will be. God does not change. God is the one who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life in our place. Then he forsook his Son on the cross, making him bear the full weight of your sins and mine, so that we wouldn't have to. Now we are new creations in faith in his Son, and God will see to it that we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he himself is faithful. As for meeting together and stirring up one another to good works, what more must be said? A few years ago, St. John's Evingham's pastor, Pastor Ted Gull, had said that he didn't have any need to preach a sermon on stewardship. He had simply told his congregation when he got there that he wasn't going to watch how much everyone else was putting in. He told them instead that that was between them and God, knowing that God had paid for their sins in Jesus Christ. And really, that's what motivates every Christian to give. Not just offerings, but including offerings, but also their time and their talents. Because God has paid the price for their sins in Jesus' death and resurrection. And God has been faithful to you. And has paid the price for your sins in Jesus' death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen. We now gather the offering.